Well, we've just entered the street and exited a bar/restaurant where we've had a delightful meal. Zizi in Derby. The streets are crowded, if you can picture, with people that probably should be wearing more clothes, that probably should have drank less. And amongst them are two gentlemen who have spent a couple of days in each other's company, I believe. Myself, obviously, Christian.
Yes.
And in England, you're called Bob, I believe.
Bob, yes. Bob Pledge is indeed my name. In New York, people call me Robert Pledge. It sounds more exotic. And in China, many people call me Bobo. Bobo Pledgey.
Now, you came up to me straight away in the quad and said, "Hi, how you doing?" And we had a chat, and it wasn't until you mentioned your name that something clicked, and I thought, whoa, hang on a second. I read your name in so many places, and it's your picture agency. Tell me about it.
Well, if you read my name in so many places, it's because
we're being sold stuff.
I've paid many people to just mention my name.
It works.
And it does work. It's a very good contact. Contact Press Images is indeed a photographic agency that I started in 1976 with David Burnett, an American photographer, and a small group of photographers very much inspired by the early Magnum of 1947 or the early Gamma of 1967. A small, compact, dynamic picture agency made up of freelancers who would go out and work on stories or cover issues, events that they had personal interest in and that we as a group thought had merit to cover.
What has changed with agencies like Magnum? What's different now compared to then, which a lot of photographers, you know, talk and reminisce and get very romantic about that era?
Well, everything has changed. Of course, the internet is here, the digital world is very present, but it's not just the digital world, it's the economic environment that's quite different, but it's, and maybe all these things are linked, it's that we're living in a much smaller world than ever. It's a globalized world where everything is so close. And when we started in 1976, we set up the agency in February of 1976, there were only three national networks in the United States, in addition to public television. CNN didn't exist. In England, there maybe were a couple of television networks, BBC, ITV, or in France, there was one, maybe two channels. They were mostly operating from 7 in the morning till 11 at night. Newspapers were very important. That was the main source of information that most people were accessing to. Magazines were important and they were growing. The Life magazines, the Picture Posts, all these publications had disappeared. The newsweeklies like Time, Newsweek, The Economist were important publication vehicle for news, and they could actually compete with television because television was using film, not video in those days. There was enough that the competition was somewhat balanced, and actually magazines could come out with stories, even big stories, before sometimes television was able to. Suddenly the weekend news programs. So it was a very different world, and photography had a role, an important role to play, that it was able to play as an investigative tool to help the public to understand the world and the events that were taking place.
It's like being in a war zone right now. It's amazing with the sounds that are around us as we walk through Derby. And you're the consummate professional. We are in the zone. And you're completely oblivious.
Very cool and very calm.
I know.
But I know that actually this city is quite amazing. I've only been here 2 days. It's incredible. It's a little English town. I think it was a railroad station town. And it's so youthful and so energetic and so loud and so so remarkable in many ways?
It's probably a strange question for us moving and walking through such a noisy environment because people can't see what we can see. The chaos and beauty of humanity.
Including this guy throwing up.
The interactions. There is a guy throwing up on our right, being nurtured by his friends that none seem to have any hair. Do you see pictures in everything?
Oh, well, thank you. We are surrounded.
He saw the microphone.
We're surrounded by images of all kinds. Yes, I mean, if I were a photographer, I'm not a photographer. I've never taken pictures. I work with.
But you curate so much.
I edit. I curate. I work with photographers. I live their lives. I speak to them. I have some knowledge about photography. This street is a gold mine, and actually, there must be other streets in English, small English cities like this. This would be a great story, a great essay to produce, if anybody had interest in publishing. But it would be great to put on a blog or develop as a multimedia of some
and
kind.
And we're capturing elements of it right now as we walk.
Absolutely.
Tell me, who are the people that you are working with? I mean, if I mention the name Sebastio Salgado, is he...
Yes, well, there are people, there are several categories of photographers. There are some who we distribute. They've been friends for many years. I know their work, and we get involved in certain aspects of the distribution of their work. Sebastio Salgado, Annie Leibovitz, Don McCullen, Li Jianchen, the Chinese photographer from the Cultural Revolution, Gilles Caron, this young photographer who died in 1970 in Cambodia. Those are bodies of work that we handle with great care. And then there are the original photographer, agent contact photographers, David Burnett, Dilip Mehta, Frank Fournier, and others whose work, who might not even be photographing today, such as Alan Reininger or Gianfranco Gorgoni, whose work we are part of this quite extraordinary collection that we have built over the last 35 years. Then there are some younger photographers, Stephen Dupont from Australia, Juliana Beasley from the United States, who we are also strongly promoting and helping to develop themselves as photographers, their work, to be published whenever that is possible, through assignments or not, and that we try also and promote through the publication of books or the development of exhibitions of different kinds, and whatever we can do that is meaningful and worth doing. Worth doing, of course, in financial terms, but in cultural terms, in terms of, because for a small agency like ours, it only makes sense to bring something that is not out there already and that is different and that adds to whatever knowledge we might have or understanding we might have, not to repeat what others have done or are doing, and sometimes better than we could do.
Sure, sure. It's interesting, totally fascinating what you're saying, and I personally get the sense that we're entering a serious time of transition. I mean, I feel it right now. How are you going to change as people's business models are changing around photography? People are having to rethink what is valuable, for example.
Well, one would think that, you know, after many years you've gained a lot of experience and you would have the answer to this question. But we are
not saying you're old.
No, but I'm not saying that either. I'm just saying I've been around for a long time. I've been in this world of photography now for 40 years.
Seen some incredible change in that time.
Well, amazing. But, you know, people sometimes feel annoyed by these changes and nostalgic. Nostalgic about it. But that's the world, the way the world has always been. It changes. It was never written anywhere that photography the way it was practiced in the 50s or 60s or 70s, 80s, 90s would be going on that way forever. I think some people did, and some photographers might have felt that that's the way it would be. Well, we never felt that way. And we were always small and always had to adjust. And since we knew what we were trying to achieve, we did have to adjust to be able to reach the goals we were after. Today, I don't and none of us, and we have many discussions at the agencies about that, we don't have the answers. What we do know is that we have accumulated an extraordinary wealth of very meaningful images that it constitutes a very powerful collection of important images from a historical, cultural, journalistic point of view, and that we want to do interesting things with this in the form of collective exhibitions or individual exhibitions of books, of multimedia. We are trying to find every way we can to get it out there in a meaningful way. I use this term meaningful all the time because that is what we want our contribution to be. There are so many images out there, many bad ones, but many good ones too. It's not just rubbish. There's great abundance, and I think we've only seen the start of it. When our friends from China, from India, from Bangladesh, from Brazil,
when they start plugging in and sharing,
plugging in and having photographs traveling around the world, we're going to multiply everything by 2, 3, 4, what it is today. So would
your role turn into being a kind of filter for those? More of a curator, an extreme curator.
Absolutely. And then we'll be able to work with people from anywhere in the world, which is what the technology also allows us to do, who are developing a project that is, we feel, interesting and meaningful, as I said often, and that we might want to help with, get involved, and make happen and develop something out of, which doesn't imply that we would be working with this or that photographer for the entirety of his or her life or career.
So in some ways, your job may become easier because of the amount of content that you can find meaning in. Yet the trick may be on ensuring that content is delivered in the correct medium for the audience of the time, the audience of the age, and maybe that will be in a multimedia fashion or a digital fashion.
But my experience in this business is never is anything easy. Everything requires time. If you want to do it well, if you want to give the weight and give quality to the work you do, you need to spend time.
I wasn't pointing to the door. I was just pointing to this lonely pigeon sitting there listening to us.
So I don't think it ever becomes easy, but it has to be somewhat enjoyable to do, and enjoyable because you know that it has meaning and it serves a purpose, and that other people might not be doing it. And amongst these humongous amounts of incredible materials that are out there, that you're able to select, shape some of them and make them available to a public out there that might be a fringe public or a mass public. You don't know, and it depends on the situation, the stories, the subject matters, the topics. But I think the dedication to quality, what is quality? Because we always want to do something of high quality, something that serves a good purpose, culturally, intellectually, even as entertainment, for people who have deep interests. I think it's a matter of respect always towards the listener, towards the onlooker, towards the audience, towards the public. Mm. And if you feel that that's your responsibility, that's the way you'll do it, and you'll put in the time and the energy that is required to make it what you think is the best you can do.
Thank you so much. So, to finish with, can you speak to a photographer listening to this right now and tell them what they need to do to be heard above the coming noise, the cacophony of images and content which is going to fill our minds and our screens and our shelves? How do they stand out from the crowd?
Well, the first, most important, I think, aspect is to believe in what you're doing. Believe that it is something that is worth doing, that you deeply are convinced it's worth doing. doing, not because it's an idea that's been floating around and everybody said, yeah, you should get involved in this. You have to know that you want to get involved. If you believe that, to start with, you are going to think hard and develop the best ways of convincing people that what you have to say, what you have to show, what, and it doesn't have to be heavy stuff only. I think it's with anything you do, is to have that deep conviction that what you're doing serves a purpose, is meaningful, at least for yourself, and that you want the public to receive it well. And in order to do that, you have to put the energy, the time to make it look as good as you think you can make it look good. And you have to be open and speak to people and let people know ahead of time or along the way and promote it. Not promote it in a strictly commercial way, but promote it for what you think it is worth,
express
and for
your
the content
passion.
And express your passion. That is so essential. I think there's so much concern today because of the economy, because of the difficulty, because of the competition, because of the number of people out there, that one is lost, one is in this huge ocean. And we are all swimming in a big ocean, but everybody does not have to drown. I think most people should not drown, and they should not panic. They should take a deep breath and
swim harder
and understand what the distance is between where they are and where they want to go, and develop their energy in such a way that they can get there. I don't think there are secret.
It sounds like what you're saying
or
is
magic or anything like this.
The passionate will survive.
I think it's been an essential ingredient in the history of, well, of all means of expression, art forms, including photography, which is a very, 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 very important tool for the understanding of the world in which we live, and that can open our minds onto so many things, so many issues, so many aspects of society and the future, that we often underestimate so much. It is an incredibly powerful tool, but we have to use it right.
Bob, I've enjoyed talking with you, listening to you, drinking with you, and being at the same conference for the last couple of days. Thank you very much.
I do hope we'll drink a little more, because it's been very reasonable, and I hope we'll elbow the pastry more often than we did tonight. It was great. I'm really happy, actually, too. And that is off the record, if you want. But so I've met you here in Derby, which has been actually a very, 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 very pleasant, very exciting, very stimulating experience for me. I mean, to have met you, to have met Francis Hodgson, to have met Ruth Wies-Lotzenberg and other people that have seen and Homer Sykes and or Brian Griffin. That's been really exciting. Ideas exchange and in a very pleasant environment. And maybe that is one of the things that needs to be done, is to take those moments or create these moments of quietness so that ideas can be exchanged. And we have to learn to listen to what others who are in the industry, in the world of photography, have to say that can help us and stimulate and encourage not to give up, because it is a very difficult industry. It's difficult because it's changing and we're uncertain of where these changes are leading us. And we don't like this uncertainty. And that is a sort of huge problem. It's not just
that's right, people
the money,
fear change.
There is, yes, especially a change that you have no idea where it's taken us.
For me, I see it as another change in business models, and I explained it earlier on as farriers seeing the wheel coming along. What did they do? They didn't just freak out. They started building wheel rims. Photographers need to rethink what they're doing in that way, in my mind, and I think maybe...
I think that's true, absolutely. There's a... we know that there's this incredible technology. We know that humanity has so many tools in its favor to make the world an interesting and better place. And we know also how incredibly qualified to fuck things up all the time. So there is this this sort of ambivalent feeling about, including the technology, which I think is really incredible. I'm not somebody who is deeply knowledgeable or a great user of it, but I've always encouraged people to, my office in particular, to use it. We had the first K-Pros in 1980.
The first?
K-Pros, little portable computers with a, with an inch green screen.
Oh, yeah.
That was before the 12K Macintosh. We had that. Annette had a K-Pro. I think one of the first, was it an Epson or something, computers. So we knew that this would be coming. We knew we would be using it as a tool, that it would help us. But at the same time, most photographers have stuck until only recently to analog, to film, to because of quality, of control, of completion of bodies of work, and didn't want to get involved in the digital race. We didn't want to be the guinea pigs because we're too small to afford that. We were happy to see our friends from other agencies or friends with us trying things and spending energy and time, that we could reap some of the benefits of their knowledge, and it would have probably put us under. It didn't put, well, I think it did put a few of them under.
It did, but out of all of them, you're still here.
Well, yeah, we always thought we'd never live longer than 10 years. It's been 34. And
you must be doing something right.
Well, when we reach our 30th, I said, look, 30 is our goal. Any year beyond that is a bonus. So we'll keep going as long
as we
can. And,
your project is finished.
And
this is all
bonus.
If we were
to stop in 6 months or in 6 years, so that's the way it will be. And we won't have any regrets, I think. Except for this. There's one thing, and that's our paramount, I think, objective at this stage, is to preserve that work that we've...
Isn't your work preserved on everybody's shelves?
I mean,
you sell phenomenal books.
An agency is not a place for this work to be for the centuries to come. Mm-hmm. We will have to, I think, find a way to interest a museum or a cultural institution, a foundation or a university, to take on that work and for multiple purposes. Preserving that work, translating by scanning it so that it can be accessible digitally is something very, very important. Maybe at this stage more important than for us to produce new work. That is fundamental. It's our top priority.
Until then, where can everybody go to find out exactly what you guys are involved in right now?
contactpressimages.com, www.contactpressimages.com. We have a website. We have also a blog, a little blog there. We update it quite regularly. We, of course, are very far from most of the blogs, but it's easy to reach us. We're a small group of people. If people want to email us, want to get hold of us, it's pretty easy. So to our website, all the addresses, names are there. It's
brilliant. contactpressimages.com. Small group of people, massive amount of passion.
Massive.
Thank you very much.
Christian, thank you. No.